As I stand in front of this mic, it is my desire to share information in a way that will inspire you to make a choice to grow. If you grow, everything around you grows. Today, we are not lacking students. We are lacking teachers. My true desire is for those of you that are already teaching and mentoring that this information will expand your message to each of your friends of life. And for you that haven't been teaching for a period of time, that I will get you back. Beside every great life success story stands a great teacher and mentor. Can we all agree upon that? I believe that it is our responsibility to take our gifts and share them with others. The more you help others grow, the more you grow. This information is designed in a format that you can take any part or all of the information and share it with people that need your leadership and mentorship. If things are truly going to change, it needs to start with each one of us. The way we really make a difference in a life is to mentor another person. The rewards that you receive from helping another person believe in themselves is something that money cannot buy. There are three keys to greatness, folks, in life. Number one is the willingness to change. Sometimes change is very difficult in our life. And we're not always willing to change. When we hit the bottom, sometimes that's the only time we're willing to really change. Let's not take to the bottom. Let's begin the process of changing while you're on top. Because if you're listening to this program, you're already a success. Because most people today do not have the time, nor make the time, or understand the value of education. So are you really willing to change? The second is, are you willing to learn? Today it's very simple. If you work and you learn, you will grow. What is wrong with that formula in life? Most important issue there is people today only work, but they don't learn. Most important concept I want to help you understand is this program is designed to really impact the fact that learning is the most important key that a human being has to understand in life. But for you to reach the level of greatness, to reach the level that one cannot buy the feeling, that one cannot understand unless one has been there, then you must take this information. You must take your experiences. You must take your knowledge and your ideas, and you must teach them. The true key to greatness is to teach. Think about it. Every time you share information with another person, who gets to hear it one more time? You. I've been in this business for over 14 years. I cover the United States and Canada. When you are on and off planes about every third day, traveling has a tendency to get real old. People ask me all the time, why do you continue to travel the way you do? Two reasons. Number one is I get to work with and learn from the very best in my profession called sales. And I want to clarify something right now. I am not a speaker and I am not a motivator. I am a salesperson and I'm very proud of it. Where else in the world can you get up in the morning and have no idea what's going to happen to you? But let me ask you, how many of you listening to this program today are in sales? If your hands went up immediately, it's because you are obviously in a direct sales environment. But if your hands did not go, or your heart did not open, then I ask you the second question. How many of you in this room talk to another human being that does breathe? If you say yes to that, then you're in sales. My next question is, how many of you listening to this have children? I have a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 9-year-old. I've been married 21 years. I realize what I'm doing standing in front of this mic is my second job. My primary job is being a father and a husband of a family and children that I am very proud to say are a huge part of my life. And there would be nothing more that would make me prouder in life than for you to meet my family. But I will tell you this, and I hope that this will touch your heart in a very special way. You sell your kids on the books they read, the classes they take, and the people they hang around every day of your life. Because if you're not selling them, folks, somebody else is. Can we agree upon that? I think more than ever, one of the most important things to realize is the second reason I do what I do. I get to work with and learn from the very best in my profession called sales. As I've said before, where you are today and where you'll be tomorrow is nothing more than the books you read and the people you meet. I get to work with many of the great success stories, many of the great authors, many of the great trainers, and most importantly, many of the great mothers and fathers in the marketplace today, leaders and individuals that exist. And I've learned one thing, that when you're around success, you have a tendency to learn and grow from it. When you're around failure, you have a tendency to learn and fail from it. What I'm asking is this. There is a gentleman that I've known for a long time. He passed away last year. He's one of the greatest authors I've ever personally known in my life. And the minute I say his name, I know that anybody listening to this audio program, your heart's going to open up. Your head is going to nod. You're going to get a smile on your face, and you're going to say, Ryan, you're right. His name is Og Mandino. He's authored many great books. The Greatest Miracle, The Greatest Secret, The 12th Angel, The Greatest Salesman, Part 1, Part 2. I can go on and on. I'll never forget it. In Toronto, Canada, about 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years now, 2:30 in the morning, after the program he and I did together, he looks at me and he says, Brian, you know what the biggest problem people have today? I said, what's that? He says, when you are, where you are, being there. I don't know about you, but I looked at him and I said, would you run that by me one more time? I wish you wouldn't hit me with such heavy stuff so early in the morning. He says, you're physically one place, mentally another, most of your life. What do you have? You have a person sitting on the beach thinking about work. What are they doing when they get to work? They're thinking about the beach. They crust in the air. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever met a mark? No more than your hand leaves their hand. What'd you forget? His name. That's humanly impossible. How can you forget a name that fast? I'll tell you how you can forget a name that fast. It has nothing to do with memory. You know what it has to do with? You were physically there. Mentally, you hadn't shown up yet. And remember something, folks. People do not care how much you know. They only care how much you know about them and can remember. What I'm going to ask right now is this. How many of you listening to this program would like to achieve this as a great area of your life? And that is this, to reach a level in your life that you have created upward, consistent growth in your life. If your hands went up, your head nodded, your heart says, I'm with you, then you have to understand the eat concept. No, I'm not talking about food. Some of you go, hey, food, I like this guy. No, not food. I'm talking about EAT. Not only do you have to eat up life, because life is too short not to be happy. Life is too long not to do well. But most importantly, looking at each one of these pieces of the puzzle. E in the word eat stands for being an eager learner. You've got to be a sponge. How do you know if your mind is truly open-minded or not? Any of you who've ever seen the movie Phenomena knows exactly what I'm talking about. But you know what's interesting? I work with over 41,000 national accounts. I make on an average appearance between 9 to 11 appearances a week. I can sit down with you for 10, 15, 20 minutes and tell you how open your mind is because I listen to your vocabulary. If there's a word that's in your vocabulary, you are very open-minded. If it is not, you're not near as open-minded as you used to be. Well, I hate to break the news to you. Now, let's see if you can figure out what word I'm talking about. You take a child between ages 3 and 5. Never forget something. We learn everything we need to know about personal development between ages 3 and 5. Hey, that's proven. You take one word out of that child's vocabulary, which is called no. That'd be an exciting thought someday. But if you took it out, what's one other word they'd use a ton other than no at that age? Why? You know. Dad, why do you got a refrigerator? Keep your food cold. Why do you want to keep your food cold? Then it go bad. Why don't you go bad? Then it get sick. Now they go on and on and on and on. They almost drive you nuts with it, don't they? You know what's interesting? I want you to put in your mind that word why. I want you to realize for the next 24 to 48 hours, let's see how often you use it. And you might find you've lost it. Do you know why? Two reasons. Number one is statistically proven. You get to a certain age, you think you should know. Don't get there. And you know what? The second reason, let's be honest. You get around your peers, and you don't want them to know that you don't know. Now, let's really be honest. If you don't know, they don't either. So now you got two people not knowing anything and being quiet, and only in America can you still advance. What I'm asking you to do is realize, the more that I'm around people that are growing, the more that I'm around people that are learning, the more that I'm around an environment that is expanding, there's one common denominator. They have minds that are open so they can keep up with the changes that are guaranteed in life. Now let's go ahead and talk about A. A in the word eat stands for argue. True or false? Do we have negativity in our life? True. My question to you is this. As you become more successful in life, does negativity increase or does it decrease? I think we all can agree. It increases. So be careful what you ask for. You know, life is very simple. If you work and you learn, you will grow. What's the problem with that formula? Most people today only work. They stop the learning process. However, understand one thing. If you work and you learn, you will grow, but then life is going to test you. How is it going to test you? It's going to throw a problem at you. Hey, if you haven't already had one this morning, you're going to get one this afternoon. You got it coming. But here's the key. How you choose to handle that issue will determine if you get to grow or you have to start over again. There are three key words that are an absolute must in this category. They are on its time. What do I mean? Life is nothing but choices. Can we agree? If you're happy or not, that's your choice. If you're in balance or out of balance, that's your choice. But realize something. When something negative enters your life, it is your responsibility to stop whatever you're doing and resolve it on its time. If you do it on its time, you control it. There's one other choice we have. What is it? You ignore it, push it aside, hope it goes away. Does it go away? Not. It only gets what? Worse. And you know what's even worse than worse? Is you have allowed it onto your time. Meaning, there's not an hour, there's not a day, there's not a week, there's not an early morning that it doesn't pop into your mind. And you say, I've got to resolve this issue. Stop putting it off. Stop procrastinating on the fact that you need to address this issue. What I'm asking you to do is this more than anything else. What's the number one killer of memory? Stress. You know what stress is? You're spending more time worrying about what you didn't do yesterday, how it's going to catch up to you tomorrow, than you are paying attention to what you're doing today. Realize the most important factor, and that is this. If you resolve these issues on its time, when it comes to you, you now control it. By you allowing them to come on to your time, by ignoring them, pushing them aside, and hoping they go away, you have allowed them to control you. T in the word eat stands for being thankful. No, I'm not talking about how blue the sky is, how green the grass is. Give me a break. I'm talking about the most important thing of all. And that is this. Has any of you in this audience ever heard anybody ever say, it's greener on the other side of the fence? We all have. Is it? No. A friend of mine once told me, I thought it was kind of funny. He said, Brian, they just learned how to hide their manure better. Well, let's realize the simple truth. The question I have to ask you is this. Why does something always seem to look better over there? Why does that job look better? Why does that situation look better? Why does that whatever look better? Number one answer I get from all the audiences around the country. Well, it's because you're not there. Do you realize that's the opposite of the truth? The truth is, hear me out. If something looks better than where you are. It's for one reason. You spend more of your time looking over there than you do looking where you are. Can we agree? You know, one of my most favorite movies in life is called Pollyanna. I know some of you might be going, oh no, he's a silly guy. Hey, I will say this without hesitation. There's a truth in that movie that literally can change the world. And that is this. If you look for the good in a person, you will find it. If you look for the bad in a person, you will also find that too. And you know what? If you look for the good in a company, you'll find it. If you look for the bad in a company, you'll find it. It is your choice, your responsibility to decide what you want to find in every situation. And you know what? I hope you'll take this to heart. What you choose to look for, you will find. What you find, you will attract. And what you attract, you will become. That was your own destiny. Don't be so surprised. And you know, I'm going to ask you to understand one of the most important issues in life, and that is this. If you want this year and next year to be some of the best years you've ever had in your life, rule number one is you need to spend more time focusing on where you are compared to where you're not. Let me give you a fine example. You're having the luxury of taking your child to school. Next time your cellular phone goes off, why don't you do the world a great favor? And more important than the world, your child, a huge favor. Don't answer the phone. If you've got a teenager in that car, I guarantee you it'll drive them nuts. But you know what? They're going to look at you. They're going to say, Mom, Dad, how come you didn't answer the phone? Then you can look at them and say, I do not want our time disturbed. That will be an action that will go directly to their heart to let them know how important they are to you. And rule number two is, I don't know about you, but I'm sure many of you that are listening to this audio program use email. I'm not a big fan of email. You know why I'm not? I love the technology. I like all that makes available for people to communicate. Don't take me wrong. But I will say this. When you get 180 emails a day, and some weekends I've got up to 436 emails in one weekend. Do you know how long it takes me to return that many emails? My best answer, folks, too long. What I'm asking you to realize is half of them, you know what they all say? I'm out of control, Brian. Do you have any suggestions? Yeah, well, suggestion number one is, why are you doing emailing me over the weekend? Get a life. Number two is, if you ever get out of control in your life, do yourself a favor, would you? Write down everything you're focused on. And then next to it, write down, can you do anything about it? And I think you're going to stand back from that piece of paper and look down and realize you're focused on everything you can't control. So guess what? You have put yourself out of control. If you focus on the things you can control, guess what? You put yourself back in control. It is 100% your responsibility. And rule number two is you've got to answer these three questions properly. Question number one is, how many books have you read so far this year? Do you know an average American only reads 1.5 books a year? 60% of them never get beyond the third chapter? Whoa! You wonder where we're losing our competitive edge. How many books does an average CEO of a Fortune 500 read in a week? Four. Three industry-specific, one to keep their reading up. Never forget this. Leaders are readers. In the latter part of this audio program, I talk about leadership. Everybody in this world is a leader. If you're reading, you're leading. If you're not reading, you're not leading, and you're not growing. I pray from the deepest part of my heart that in some magical way, in some words that I use, or phrases, or however I accomplish it, I don't care. What I care is the results. I only hope that I will get you back to reading. Because those of you that is a mother, those of you that is a father, I hope you'll understand the truth. If you read, your children will read. If you do not read, your children will not read. Don't be so surprised. And most importantly, and that's this, underneath question one, books, I want you to write down A, B, C. These are the three most common characteristics among the highest, most successful people in our life. You show me a person that's growing. You show me an environment that's expanding. You show me a situation that has less stress than the other. I'll show you these three common characteristics. See how many of these you have. Hey, you go into a home that's $500,000 up. You go into a home that's a growing environment. You go into a home that the kids are reading more than watching TV. Now you tell me, what room is in that home that you don't find in the others? You're right. You guys are all psychic. It's called a library. You know what? I have an opportunity every so often to be invited into homes. And it cracks me up. They ask me to come in. They ask me to view their library, and I'm always very proud to do so. I've even asked to cut some ribbons for some people's homes that they built libraries in. And when you walk into a library and you have to climb a ladder to get your top book, I don't care what you say. That's awesome. And I ask these people all the time. I said, you read all these books? They all do the same thing. No, but I feel smarter walking around it, don't you? And you know what's interesting? If you have a library, remember one thing. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Brian, how do I get my kids to read more? Number one answer I always get. Well, you should turn off your TV. Or they say, Brian, how can I get my kids to stop watching TV? Number one answer I get. Well, you should turn off your TV. What I'd like all of us to accept is, yes, that is a choice, but you might want to, before turn off the TV, look at the way you've designed your home. People come up to me, they ask me the question, what do I do? I say, draw me on a piece of paper your kind of your floor plan of your house. So they draw it out. They don't know where I'm going. And also I look down and I'll say, there's your TV room. Well, how'd you know? Are you psychic? No. It's your biggest room in the house. Where's your books? Where's your study? Where do you learn? Where do you grow? What? There's your book. What? So where is the place that you study? Where's your books? Where's your library? Where do you grow? Well, I don't. I got them in my books or in my box in the closet, and that's it. And I look at them and I say, well, why are you so surprised that your kids watch so much TV? You've designed your home and you've fed them right into it. What I ask each and every person here is to realize the way you design your home will determine the outcome you'll get from the people in the home. I promote seminars all around the United States and Canada. I will fire anybody that works for me that says a seminar will change your life. Folks, a seminar will not change your life. This audio program will not change your life. What changes your life is an idea. You take that idea and you implement it into your home. It's what you do every day in your home that changes your life. Can we all agree? And you know what's interesting? Is B. A is a library. B is the most sought after item from your next generation. It's the darndest thing I've ever seen. I never heard it in an audio program. I never read it in a book. I never had heard anybody talk about it in any seminar, and I've been to almost everyone. But I saw it in people's homes. I'd always go to people's homes, and for some reason, there must be a study thing. They always take me to the study, and they sit me down, and they say, Brian, you may sit here. I'm kind of a spoiled brat. I said, well, how come I can't sit here? And they always go, well, no. That's his or her reading chair. If you have a reading chair, I guarantee you, right now, you got a big smile on your face. Because you know how important it is. It might be one that you got from your mother or your father. It might be one that literally now is in 3 generations in the family. But it's a chair. And what is that chair designed to do? That chair is designed to give you one place that you go on a regular basis and you grow. Did I say that clearly enough? It's a place where you go and you grow. If I didn't say it clearly enough the first time, that's why I wanted to repeat it only for one reason. The question you have to ask yourself is, where do you go grow? Somebody says, I do it at work. Oh, I don't think so. You don't grow at work. You withdraw at work. Where is the area that you deposit? Because if you don't deposit, you're going to run dry. If all you do is take out and you don't put in, you're going to run dry. If nothing new in the brain and nothing new out of the brain, you're not going to have the answer when the answer is needed. What I'm asking you to do is realize there is rules to a reading chair. And here they are. You're the only human being that sits in it while you're alive. It's mom's chair, it's dad's chair. You do not eat in it, sleep in it, drink alcohol in it, or watch TV in it. Never. Somebody told me the other day, I said, gosh, what a waste of real estate. I was going, hello, McFly. Well, I was off of the head of this guy. But you know what's interesting? All I'm asking you to do is realize, the higher you take your standards in that environment, the higher you raise your disciplines and your habits of your life, which is a product of who you are. The third area, which is C. A is what? A library. B is a reading chair. And C is you read 15 minutes a day. Now, there's two types of people right now. Those of you that are readers, you just said what? That's not enough time. I can't even get started in that. I love to read. My biggest problem is I can put the book down. And if you've any of you read Tuesday with more, you'll understand. You start it, you finish it, you can't put it down. But now let's look at the other side of the audience. Those of you that have gotten too far away from reading, guess what you just said? 15 minutes? That's like a month. So let's be honest. Time is never the problem. Do you know what the problem is? Starting. Once you start, then you have a new problem. You know what that is? Putting it down. And between you and I, or my heart to your heart, that's a good problem. And you know what's interesting? Is question number two. Question number one is how many books? Now, question number two is how many classes have you taken this year so far? Do you know a doctor has to take 60 hours legally, government-wise, every year, or they lose their license? Can't practice, done, second program, they're over. A CPA has to take 40 hours every year. If not, they're done. They lose their license, they cannot practice. My question to everybody listening to this tape, how many hours do you have to take? If your answer is zero, then I want you to understand something that is priceless. How you choose to answer this question affects one of the 45 undeniable truths of life. I'm going to cover two of them right here. And the remaining will follow in the programs to come in this audio program. But the key is this. It is called the truth of the universe. The truth of the universe says this. The easier you are on yourself when nobody is looking, the harder life is on you. Don't be so surprised. Now let's flip the coin over. The harder you are on yourself when nobody is looking, the easier life is on you. You all know the truth. You know that there's times in your life things have gotten very difficult on you. You know why? Because nothing new in, nothing new out, your value has decreased. If any of you have a friend that you know life is being very tough on them, now let's accept one fact. There are some conditions out of our control. But also, I think we can all agree, one of the conditions that is absolutely the most important is totally in our control, and that is how hard we are on ourselves when nobody is watching. Question number three is priceless, no pun intended here, and that's this. How much money have you saved so far this year? If right now I could go into every car, I could go into every home, I could go into every office, I could go into every place that everybody is sitting, and I said to you, I want your name and I want the amount of money that you now have working for you that you didn't have starting this year. And I want you to put it on a piece of paper, and I'm now going to read it to everybody. If you would be proud of that, I congratulate you. If you would not be proud of that answer, that I congratulate you for listening to this program in a time frame that you can make all the difference in your life. Folks, let's accept one truth. It doesn't matter how much you make. Only matters how much you keep. If you make $2 million and you spend $3 million, you're a loser. If you make $40,000 a year and you become a millionaire, you are a major success in life. Today, more than ever, and I want you to clearly understand the truth, there are more people that have become millionaires that have made less than $40,000 in one calendar year. One of every 1,000 millionaires spends less than $59 on a wristwatch. Be careful what you're buying into. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I did a program for a company in Denver. Oh, so proud. 3,600 people, all-day program. God, I love it when I have all day. There's so much I can give. But I met the owner, obviously, before I came out. We went through all the details and outlined it, because whenever I do that, I want to know the people in the audience. I know the product, and I customize it to fit their specific needs. And also, when I got there, I asked him, I said, how many salespeople do you have working for you right now? He turns and he looks at me and he says, Brian, I have 21 million. Long pause. Excuse me? 21 million salespeople? How is that possible? Never forget it in my life. He reached in his pocket. He pulls out a $1 bill. And he says, Brian, every time I earn these, I always hire some of them. And I send them out to sell for me every day. I have some that do real well. I have some that do okay. And I have some that die. And I looked at him and I said, you know something? I have come to the conclusion. I have got to get more salespeople on my team. Realize the name of the game is not what you make. The name of the game is what you keep. And realize the most important issue, and that is this. I am going to recommend something to you. But before I do, let me ask you this question. How many of you in this audience want to be totally financially independent in your lifetime? You know what? If not every hand went up, I'd be disappointed. But you know what? I'm going to recommend a book for those of you that in your heart right now says that this is a key issue in my life. So I'm going to recommend a book. I don't make a dime from this book. I get to meet a person that hasn't reached financial independence, that doesn't contribute to this book. I personally don't believe there's any books out there that didn't come from this book. And you know what's most important? That all the principles in this book came from the Almighty book. But the point is this. This book's only, I'd say half inch. Cost you $5, $6, $7 unless you go to a used bookstore. It'll cost you $2, $3, $4. Nothing personal, folks, but if you can't afford $2, $3, $4, $5, $6, you need this book real bad. The name of the book is called The Richest Man in Babylon. And I know right now, I only pray that the people that have read the book, I guarantee you right now, you sat up strong in your car and you said, yeah, he's right. No kidding, that helped me out so much. Some of you that read the book have given it to your kids, given it to your friends. May I make a suggestion? Whenever, I'm going to talk about this in a moment, but whenever you give a book away, you autograph it. You put your name in it. They know who authored it, but you autograph it. I put in there, there's one thing to make money, it's another to keep it. I hope this book will help you. Life is good, Brian. What I'm asking you to do is realize, if money's an issue to you, you need to go get the book. Now I'm going to talk about this second undeniable truth of life. It's called the truth of diminishing intent. What do I mean? What I mean is this. What you hear in your heart, you have 48 hours to act upon or you missed your call. I guarantee it. There's people sitting here listening to this that says, you know, I was going to call my mom 6 months ago. 6 months ago, I was going to do this thing very special for my dad. And that was last year? Hello? You know what? You were asked to do something very special for a very special person. And you're so busy doing what doesn't count that you couldn't do what does count. In my personal opinion, and I am no expert, I have no research in this category whatsoever, but you notice something, we've got a lot of angry people in our marketplace. We have what we call road rage. We have what we call all kinds of rage. You go to retail stores and you ask the people what's the biggest challenge. People are angry. Do you know why I think you're angry? It's because you're so busy doing what doesn't count that you don't find enough time to do what does count. And I want you to understand something. Your heart never lies to you. Let me prove it to you. How many of you have ever met somebody that you felt very uncomfortable around? We all know. How many of you have ever met somebody that you felt very comfortable around? We all know. We're given those feelings for a reason. What I am hoping that you will understand, and that is this. When you hear something in your heart, when you feel something in your heart, you have 48 hours to act upon it, or you have missed your window. And guess what? It might pop up later, but it might be 6, 7, 8 months, a year, 2 years, or it pops up after the person's no longer around, and now you live with what? Regret. I wish that I knew the exact number of people listening to this audio program at this exact moment, but I don't. So my best example is the audiences that I speak around the country can vary from 100 people to thousands of people. And I always challenge them. I say, you all raised your hand and said you want to be financially independent, didn't you? And they say, yes. And I said, now I've just described a book that literally those people in the audience that have read it quickly defined that it was one of the best choices they've ever made. Now, after all the energy I put in, all the energy you put in, all this time, which we can't give back, that we've invested together, the sad truth, how many of you are going to go get the little book? Well, let me give an example. If there's 500 people in the room, I will tell them this. Out of 500, 20 of them will try to go get a book. 20 of them will go to the bookstore and say, hey, you got this richest man or something? And the guy will say, oh, right over there. Out of 20, only 18 will walk out with the book. You're thinking, wait a minute, 20 went in, 18 came out, what happened? Well, those two, I guarantee you, they kind of wandered their way over to Starbucks. They fell prey to Venti Non Fat Vanilla Latte. The coffee got them big time. They've been distracted. And you know who you are. Right now, you laugh because you went to the coffee. And you know what? How many do we have left? We have 18. Do you know how many of 18 out of 500 people will actually read the book? Less than 5. We'll complete it from the front to the back. Oh, I can guarantee you right now, some of you listening think, hey, I'm going to get this book. I'm going to stack him upside the head with it. Make my day. But you know what? Right now, the intent is high. A week from now, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, all of a sudden something jogs your memory, and you say, man, I didn't get the book. I didn't get the book. I didn't read the book. If I didn't read the book, he's right. Huh, I hate him. I don't put guilt on anybody. What I'm asking you to do is if your heart says money's important to you and you couldn't find the time to go get that little teeny book and read it, then I ask you to do yourself a huge favor. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, why are you so busy doing what doesn't count that you couldn't find a little bit of time to do what does count? I would love to share a story with you. Second week of December, I'm sitting in St. Louis. And all of a sudden, I had a name come to my mind. Charles. I hadn't thought about Charles for 4 years. I referred Charles to do business with a guy. He's a very close friend of mine. I said, check him out. I don't know him, but check him out. He didn't check him out. He went head forward right into it. He lost $6,000 in the first week. The guy was a crook. He never held it against me, never held it against my family, and I thanked him for that. But all of a sudden, 4 years later, his name pops in my head. Come on, folks. How many of you, even today, have had a name pop in your head that you haven't thought about for a long time? You might want to ask yourself why that happened. And you know what's interesting? All of a sudden, another thought added on to his name. It went, Brian, why don't you send him a check for $3,000? Half of what he lost. Christmas time?
Ho, ho, ho. I started getting all bumped up. I was having a hard time sitting still. I was thinking, yes, this would be great. I was going high. I mean, life was good. And then all of a sudden, what happens? I get out. I get in the car. And what happens? Reality hits. $3,000. I don't know about you, but $3,000 is a lot of money to me. So what did I say? All right, I know the truth of diminishing intent. I said to myself, okay, if I can hang on to Wednesday, I'll wake up Wednesday morning, I won't remember it, I won't feel guilty, and I'll have my $2,000. Which happened to be what I was basically saving for a four-wheeler. My son got his four-wheeler, my other son got his four-wheeler, Dad's still walking. What happened Monday? Nothing. What happened Tuesday? Nothing. Now, some of you in this audience might be saying, boy, Brian, you sure are greedy. Boy, Brian, you sure are leaning in the wrong direction. I guarantee you every person has done this thing. If you knew it or if you didn't know it, we've all done it. Tuesday night, what happened? I'm rolling around in bed. How many of you have had a thought stick with you like that? And I'll never forget it as long as I live. My wife rolls over and says, Brian, whatever you've got to do, go do it. You're driving me nuts. I said, well, honey, we've been married at that time 20 years. And I said, if I'm going to do this, we need to talk. She said, no, I'm exhausted. I'm not talking about anything. And I said, well, it's about $3,000. What'd she say? Turn on the lights. I have not let her live that one down. The key is this. We sat down and talked. And this is the most important part that I got out of this. I want to share with you. I said, here's my thought. Here's what I've wanted to do. What do you suggest? She says, do it. I said, now, wait a minute. That was easy for you to say. It's not your $3,000 you've been saving. And then she said the most important thing that night that has changed my life. She looked at me and she said, it wasn't my thought either. If you have a call that comes to your heart, don't you delegate it. That call was your call. You need to be the one that gets it done. I looked at her and I said, you're right. Got up that night, typed a letter. Said, Charles, I haven't heard from you for 4 years. I don't know why, but I've been called to send you a check for $3,000. Half of what you lost on that referral, I appreciate you never holding that against me nor my family. And guess what? Why did I type that letter that night? Let's be honest. If I didn't do it that night, I would have got up that morning and found another reason not to do it. Now I was what? Committed. And you know what's interesting? Got up that morning. And how many of you in this audience have ever written a check that you really didn't want to write? Well, guess what? My name went from the left side of that check to the right side of the check. I threw that check into FedEx and sent it out to them. I walked around for 2 days with a dream. Let me share my dream with all of you. My dream went like this. He doesn't need the money. He'll send it back. Hello? Anybody home? Guess what? 2 days goes by, the phone rings. He says, Brian, how'd you know? How'd I know what? You didn't know? No, I did not know. You know what? My wife and I had been unemployed for 3 months. The company that we had worked for so long, the CPA didn't pay the payroll taxes and embezzled 401k funds. Their money was all locked up in the system. I said, Charles, I didn't know that. He said, then you need to know one thing. My wife's being checked into the hospital today with your $3,000. He says, God bless you. May I say something to every listener on this program? There is not enough money, all of you put together, to buy me the feeling I got from that phone call. Because money doesn't buy it. Following your heart is what achieves it. And my goal more than anything else, I finished the program this morning. 7:30 this morning, I started speaking. I had a two-hour program to do. And a lady came up afterwards, and she said, Brian, I saw you 6 months ago. She said, I brought a lot of my friends today because I wanted them to hear the message. That's all we're sharing here. I said, what was it that you liked so much about the message? She said, when I first met you, I was very unhappy. I was very angry. I was the one that was yelling at everybody, cutting everybody off. I had a problem. And then she said, when I left your seminar, I committed to one thing. Whenever a thought came to my heart, I would act upon it within 48 hours. And she said, you know something? I've never been happier in my life. Let me give you an example. She says, I had this name come to mind. I called her and I said, you want to go to lunch? So, I meet her for lunch. Before she sits down, she starts crying. She goes, I need to talk to somebody. How did you know? What I'm asking all of us to understand, we are in a phenomenal economy. The economy's going to change. It doesn't make a difference if it's good or bad. What makes a difference is what you do about it. But the key of it is, I find it unbelievable why there are so many people unhappy when so many things are going so well. I think, and I'm no expert in this area, but I think the reason that is happening is we are so busy doing what we're not designed to really do. What we're really designed to do is to help others. And I feel the more you follow your heart, the more you will help others, and through helping others, the better you'll feel about yourself. If you want to earn more, you must learn more. What do I mean by that? It's very simple. Imagine this. This has happened to all of us. We go out and read a book. We read this book, and in this book, we pick up a great idea. And isn't it amazing? All of a sudden, a week later, comes a friend, and a friend says, I got a problem. And you say, what's the problem? And they say, well, here it is. And you say, well, you know, I read this book, and it said this, and I'd like to share it with you. And they say, that's exactly what I needed to hear. You then, what? Become amazingly helpful, successful, friendly, leader, wonder maker to that person. And they're looking at you going, where would I be without life? And you say, hey, let's keep things in proper perspective here. I just read a book and shared an idea with you. And they say, no, you didn't. You took time to read the book. If you wouldn't have, you wouldn't have the answer. And now because you have the answer, you changed my life. That's the most important thing, is we are not paid today based on our time. We're paid by the value in which we bring to our time. Nothing new in, nothing new out. I've said that a few times, haven't I? But realize it's not only for work, it's for life itself. You know, when it comes to motivation, in my mind, there's two types of people. In the world, there are two types of people you run into every day. The first is those that get through the day, meaning all they do is what? They're in a hurry to go here, hurry to go there. You know what? You ever gone on a trip with them? Holy moly, 6 months before you go on a trip, they call you every day. Then they plan it to the detail. They're calling you every hour, down to every minute. And next thing you know, you're off on the trip. You're all excited. You get to the location. And guess what happens? Not 30 minutes, an hour, a half a day into your vacation, what are they saying? Well, what are we going to do when we get back? They drive me nuts. What I'm asking you to do is realize something. The second person is those that get from the day. Meaning, they start every day with one concept in mind, and that is, what am I going to learn today? How am I going to experience today? How am I going to love today? How am I going to be happy with today? And realize, today is what counts, because what I'm becoming today is my end product where I'm going to arrive tomorrow. I spoke to the Petroleum Engineers Society. I've done this for many years, and all I can tell you is this. One of the things that I always run into is that they ask me, will you come back and speak? And I think that was a great compliment. And they said, I said, why? Why do you want me to continue to come back and speak? They said, Brian, because you're weird. And have you ever asked a question that you're a little afraid of the answers you're going to get? Well, that was one of them. I said, okay, next question, please. They said, no. The real reason is because you remind us not to go through a day without learning something new. You know why? Because if you do it for a day, you do it for a week, you do it for a week, you do it for months, you do it for months, you do it for a year, and now it's become a habit, and you've got a whole year and nothing new in. That's why. There are three greatest gifts that you can leave your next generation. I really want you to listen to these. See how well you're doing with these gifts. Gift number one is your books. In my interview process, those of you in the interview, here's a great question to ask. Most people ask what? What's the last book you read? Hello? I think they've already got that figured out by now, so they have an answer for you. Why don't you take it one step further? What books make up your library? They can't make up that answer. And you know what? Number one is your books.
You show me a person's library, I'll show you a person's philosophy. You show me the books that are around a person, I'll show you the love, desire, and interest of that person. It's the books that you hand from generation to generation that will impact your next generation. I can validate that. My kids, and though you can imagine what my library looks like, but I guarantee you one thing. I am very honored to have a daughter who plays select soccer, and she is doing a wonderful job, and one of the compliments I get constantly is how much she is a leader, how much she is very positive, how much she helps build people up. Do you think that happened by accident? I don't think so. The same way with both my sons. What I'm asking you to do is they became those factors in life because the books that they had around them every day of their life. The second greatest gift that you can give your next generation is your pitchers. If you're a good pitcher taker, bless you. Because guess what? There's nothing worse than having great memories and having no way to go back and remind you how life is so good. You know what? If I've heard it once, I've heard it mega times. My kids. Oh, no, here comes Dad. He's got the camera. Oh, Dad, put that camera away. You're driving me nuts. Some people laugh. They say, well, I can't even recognize my kids unless I have one eye shut because I always have a camera stuck to it. But isn't it fascinating? After every trip we take, guess what happens? I go to the place, get the film developed, come home, and no more than I'm walking in the door, guess who comes running downstairs? The kids. Hey, can I see the pictures? Realize one thing. The reason why you manage the picture-taking process is so that you will manage the memories that your family has experienced so that when you're no longer here, they can look back and remind you how much they loved you. The third is probably the most powerful and realistically the least used in our society today. It's called a journal. I know those of you that have a journal, immediately you said, oh, unbelievable. Let me give an example. Why do you write your life down on a piece of paper? I think the more you understand the whys, the easier the hows get. The reason why you write your life on a journal is for one reason. When you pass away, if you didn't, where does your experiences go? Where does your life go? Where does all the good and the bad, where did all the knowledge go? Where can your next generation truly grow from? Because will they know or will they remember all of it once you're not there? Not. The reason why you do it is for others. Let me give you an example. All of a sudden, one of you listening to this tape right now, all of a sudden you get a phone call from the bank. And the bank said, Mary, we found a little key. And we opened up a box that was here at the bank. And inside that box was 20 little black books. And Mary's dad's name happened to be Bill. And on those little books, there it had written, Bill's Life Journal. How long do you think it would take Mary to get to the bank, get those books, and start reading them? As fast as any human being could travel. Why? You all know today, if your mom has passed away, if your dad's passed away, and all of a sudden you got that phone call, and you realize that all that they were, all they stood for, all the experience they had, their loves, their angers, their challenges, their weaknesses, their strengths, were all in a book that you literally could remind yourself, learn from, and get closer to that human being, you would drop everything you're doing to go down and get that book. What I'm asking you to realize is the greatest gift you can give to your next generation is not money. It is your journal. And you know, I really want to take this opportunity to address one very key point. I talked about it earlier. I've talked about it all throughout the program. But I did mention the Pollyanna movie, right? And you know why I mentioned that? It's for one reason, if you remember. And that is what? If you look for the good, you can find it. If you look for the bad, you can find that also. Realize one of the things. We all have good and bad in our life. What we want our next generation and everybody close to us to know is the mistakes we make so they don't repeat them. The successes we have so that they know that they have them. What I'm asking you to do is the thing that would be best in your life is to stop this tape right now and sit down and write down the things you like most about yourself. And as you begin that process, you're going to start reminding yourself
about what you stand for. What is your gift? And I hope that none of you take this personally, but please give me this right. I believe when you're born, that's God's gift to you. What you become is your gift back. I also believe that each and every one of us, when we're born, we're given a gift. A gift. You have a gift. You have a gift. And you have a gift. You know you do. If you don't know what your gift is, give me a break. Call Mom. She'll tell you in 30 seconds. You know something? You also have a weakness. Each and every person listening to this has a weakness. That's why you're called a human. Why do you have a weakness? That's my philosophy. Meaning, I believe the reason why we're given weaknesses, and I'm no expert, it's just my philosophy, is to see how disciplined you are in your lifetime, because it's what you make of your weakness you can take credit for. Because you are given your gift. What I'm asking each and every one of us to realize, it's when you take a weakness and you turn it into a gift. That's what you've done in your lifetime through disciplines. And what I want you to also realize is if you sit down and you ask yourself these questions, how do other people see me? The second question is, how does that person see you? The other one is, how do you see yourself? And then the next question is, would you follow you? Are you that type of a leader? The next question would be, would you work for yourself? I think without hesitation, when you look at each of these questions, you start realizing that there could be areas in your life that you could change. And understanding the most important issue here. Nothing changes until you change. Once you change, everything changes. How many of you in this audience want something in your life to change? I hope every hand went up, because if you're not changing, something else is changing you. Can we agree? There are three key elements of change. You can imagine in your mind a triangle. In that triangle, which I call the triangle of change, there's knowledge on the left side of the triangle, there's skills on the right side of the triangle, and the bottom of the triangle will tell you what it is in a minute. Let me ask you, is knowledge and skills one of the same? No. What's the difference? Knowledge is what you know, skills what you can do with it. How many of you are now raising a professional student? Don't raise your hands. My question to you is this. We know the difference. We look at it and we say, man, they use 10% of what they know. They'd be an overnight success. But they don't. So my question is this. Which side of the triangle, left or right, produces the greatest amount of results in your life? That is skills. And you know how I know? It's very simple. The more you apply what you know, the more results you'll get from your efforts and your times, and the more you'll help things grow around you. The left side of the triangle is knowledge. The key of it is this. How do you know which side of the triangle you're on? Knowledge or skills? Because the right side of the triangle, what? Is where we get our highest results. The left side of the triangle is knowledge, which unfortunately we spend most of our time on. Hello? Anybody there? How do you know the difference between the two? Very simple. If I walked up to an average American and I asked them one question, what are you studying today? What do you think an average American would say to that? Nothing. My next question would be, how long have you been doing it? If you say nothing, you're on the knowledge side of the triangle. If you're studying something, you're on the skill side of the triangle. I'll explain. But before I explain, let me give you the bottom of the triangle. The bottom of the triangle is commitment. Commitment. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Life is too short not to be happy. Life is too long not to do well. And how do you know if you're truly committed in life? It's very simple. There's one factor in your life that never lies to you. Always tells you the truth. You know if you're committed or not, and you start every morning with it. What is it?